Well, Eddie, first of all, let me say congratulations on adding another All-Ireland title to your long list of victories with Ballymartle. That was something else.
It was, Weishi. It was an amazing victory for a population of 800 people. I started out with Ballymartle in 2009, and we reached the county final in Douglas. Unfortunately, beat us. Owen Cadigan was very good on the day, but we won the league against Youghal, which was very important. But there was fierce pressure in Ballymartle to win a championship because there's a latent talent there. And in 2010 started, and we were drawn against Tracton. No, Tracton, you know, it's like it's Crokes playing the Legion. Tracton and Ballymartle would be from the same similar parishes, neighbouring parishes, and they'd be, you know, they'd be fierce rivalry there. And we beat them in the first round by 10 points in Shanbally. And then we moved on to the quarterfinal against Newcestown, one of the toughest teams you could ever meet. And we were very lucky to win the game. We were 4 points down with about 4 minutes left, and we won by two. Great, great game. We beat Courses, our other neighbours in the semi-final. And then on historic day, the 10th of the 10th, 2010, we beat Tracton again in the final by 7 points. And that led us on to Munster. And I suppose it was hard, Weishi, to motivate the players maybe initially the night of the final. They were celebrating, and the Munster Championship seemed a mile away. But I was involved in the Munster Championship previously with Bishopstown in 2006 when we were beaten in the Munster final by Clooney Quinn of Clare. So I knew it was a very prestigious competition. So eventually I got the guys around to train for it, and we beat Hospital Heberstown in the semi-final, the Munster Championship. Now, the interesting thing was, about 6 weeks earlier, I had given Hospital Heberstown a session. They asked me up to Limerick, little knowing that they'd be playing us eventually. They had beaten Ballyduff of Kerry in the first round of the Munsters, and we beat them fairly well in Limerick after a tough game. And then the final, we beat Barrasochane of Tipperary quite easily. Barrasochane never got out of the traps, and we won that game. It was over at halftime. We won by 2:14 to 8 points. That brought us into the semi-final then against Padraig Pearce's of Galway. Cyril Donnan, the Galway senior, played centre forward. By God, they had Davy Fitzgerald and Ken Hogan up training them. And that was one of the hardest physical games I've ever been involved in. You know, we were lucky to win it. We won it by a goal. We were by far the better side. But Pearces were physical. They were tough and fair. But it was a very, very hard game. And then we reached the final against Dixborough Kilkenny. Now, Dixborough had won the Kilkenny Minor and Under-21 Championship, you know, recently. As last year, the Minor, and 2 years ago, the Under-21. And they had 5 Kilkenny Under-21 players. So playing them in Cope Park, minus Brian Curry, we played De La Salle of Waterford in a challenge there about 6 weeks before the Ireland final, and Curry broke his hand in a clash with Kevin Moran, and he was an awful loss to us. He's on the Cork Development Squad senior, and a lot of people felt we couldn't win it without him, but he's a fabulous guy and a great player. But, you know, we won the game. We were 2 points down with 20 seconds to go, and Darren McCarthy got a free to win it. He put top spin in the ball and went from 10 feet down, low trajectory, and Sammy Morrissey, their keeper, didn't stop it, and we won the game. There wasn't time for them to come back, and it was an amazing victory. And to win in Croke Park is very emotive. It's a very emotional experience. When I was going up the steps of the Hogan stand to get the cup with the captain, there was actually tears in my eyes because I thought of all the great captains, the Kerry football captains, Cork hurling captains, my own father, all the legends who went up to Hogan Stand. And it's a very spiritual place, Croke Park. But it was an amazing victory, an amazing, amazing victory. And I must say, Dixborough were very gracious in defeat. There was a meal in for both teams after us. Then we got home to Ballymartle about 11 o'clock, and there were speeches in the back of a lorry, and the pubs were open until 4 o'clock. The next day then, we went to Kinsale to the Trident for lunch, and it was a fantastic day, you know, one of the greatest days in the history of the club.
Talk about the history of the club, Ballymartle. Where are they situated, and how? Give us a little savour of what this club is all. It's a rural club, I presume.
It's a rural club, which is near about 6 miles from Kinsale, just between Ballinhassie and Kinsale in South East Cork in the Carrickdown division. The club was formed, would you believe, in around 1854. They had a team there. They wear green and gold, like Blackrock, you know, hoops. It's mainly a farming community, a population of 800 people. There's a church and 2 pubs and a few houses, basically. And Belgooley is part of the parish too. Clontade is the name of the parish overall, but that's the townland. But very small people. Football, they play junior football, but they don't take football serious. Hurling is the game. They're synonymous with hurling.
And there's a Kerryman chairman of the club.
Yeah, Joe Hallisey of Kinmare is the chairman of the club. A great chairman, very innovative man, a great visionary. There's a ball alley there, 2 pitches, lights. You can play matches night, and it's down to his vision and people like Dan McCarthy, great people who've raised. The debt of the club was €1 million, Weishi, and it's down now to maybe 70 or 80 thousand. you know, the lotto and fundraising and the work these people done. And their work paid off because, you know, to prepare for any championship, to Cork Championship or another, and you need a good infrastructure within the club. And the pitch there is, the main pitch in Ballymartle Riverstick is probably one of the best pitches in Cork. It's a huge pitch, similar to Croke Park. And there's a second pitch there, an old sand pitch, where there's lights there so we can train there at night. And then there's a ball alley. So it's a fantastic structure.
The sacrifices, Eddie, that the players put in to win that All-Ireland must have been absolutely huge, travelling and giving up this and giving up that and the whole thing. To win an All-Ireland with that particular club and with that particular team, what did it take? Because it must have been a professional setup.
It took a superhuman effort. I mean, Dan Dwyer came from Carlow for the training every night. Michael Tobin came from Waterford. Pat Dwyer is in Dublin, self-employed in Dublin. They came down for training. But to win an All-Ireland, for a small club, it takes fierce effort. There was fierce work done in video analysis, fierce work done in statistics. The players themselves, we started training back on the 28th December after winning the Munster. They played soccer before that in Kinsale to keep fit. It meant three or four times a week. The likes of me pushing them all the time. We played challenge games against UCC, against De La Salle, top-class games, and which brought us on a ton. But they were pushed all the way, but they were very focused and they were determined to win All-Ireland. You know, Ballinhassig, our neighbours, had got to the final in 2006 and Dixborough again beat them by 5 or 6 points. So we were determined to win it. We felt we were good enough to win it. But it took a superhuman effort from everyone, Wishy. And now after winning it, we have to give him a month's break now, because you can't train 12 months of the year, because if you do, you'll be burnt out. But it took a huge effort from a lot of people, from management, from players, from the chairman of the club, the secretary, from the supporters, raising money. It was vital. You know, we did a calendar there after winning the Munster Championship for the outlining the activities for the year. We won 8 cups last year, and the calendar raised maybe 2,000, and that went towards the All-Ireland campaign. You know, money, most clubs today, which, as you know, are hard up for money.
What part did the ladies of Ballymartle play in the club?
A huge part. You know, after training, they'd provide you with sandwiches and tea and soup and so on, and they're all, you know, fantastic people who, they all have sons playing or grandsons playing. A lot of them are elderly people, but they live for hurling. And you must remember that hurling is synonymous with Ballymartle. It puts Ballymartle on the map. You go through Ballymartle Riverstick on the way to Kinsale, you'd hardly notice it. It's a small place, a few pubs, a church, that's it. But the women are great in the club, and they support us all the way. And Ballymartle have great support. Look, we see you've won 800 in the parish, but you had about 800 at the match at the county final this year. To beat Tracton, like, we couldn't afford to lose to Tracton.
What's the one abiding memory that you'll bring to your grave of that win, whether it was at the start or the finish or in between? What's the one abiding memory that you saw or that you remember?
Of the All-Ireland win?
Of the whole season?
I think the win against Noosestown, would you believe, was she in the quarter-final and the All-Ireland. I'll tell you why. We were beaten. The game was over. Well, we thought it was over. We were 4 points down. Noosestown were tough as teak. And yet we scored 6 points to win it by 2. In extra time. And then the All-Ireland final was on. I thought, again, maybe I shouldn't say this, I thought the game was gone from us. You know, we were 2 points down. In the 61st minute and 46 seconds, we were 2 points down. There was only 14 seconds left. And I thought it was gone. And Darren McCarthy took a free. He looked over at me. And I said, you know, you've no choice but to go for it. And the minute he hit the ball, he hit it with top spin, but there was a savage power behind us. And it was about 10 feet in. And I felt, you know, it was getting dark in Croke Park and the lights weren't on. And when it hit the net, it was just a utopia. It was just unbelievable. And that moment when the whistle went, I think to win an All-Ireland in Croke Park, especially with my background, with my father winning 5 there, and as a Cork team beating Kilkenny, it's the ultimate benchmark for a Cork team and a Cork coach to beat Kilkenny in Croke Park in the All-Ireland final.
And finally, in that particular win, is there one person, is there one moment in time, or is there some photograph in your mind of a person or people of the win?
Well, I suppose Patrick Dwyer lifted up the cup in Croke Park for a small club. All of us are, I suppose, none of us are famous, we're all ordinary people. And for an ordinary person, all of us are ordinary to go up, lift the cup in Croke Park, taking account that legends were there before us at the county level. That's unbelievable. It's, like I said to you previously, it's a very spiritual place. It's a unique stadium. And to win in Croke Park and see us all, as I said, the ordinary people up there, go up the steps and seeing a colleague raise the cup is unbelievable. From Christy Cooney, the President of GAA.
Eddie, Your father, of course, you come from a great tradition of hurlers. Talk to me about your dad, Long Puck Murphy, he was known as. And, of course, you grew up in all that tradition.
Yeah, he was born in December, 16th of December 1915, at the Podermans in Benincollig, Wishy, and grew up next to the pitch in Benincollig. And he played Cop Minor when he was 14 years of age, would you believe? He played in goal, and he played Cop Minor football too. And he played junior football with Cork and handball with Cork. But I suppose as playing hurling with Cork, he's famous for. He won intermediate championship with Benincollig in 35 and 39, and he captained Benincollig in senior level in three county finals, 41, 2 and 3, where they were beaten in three finals. And he would have captained Cork if they'd won. If Benincollig had won, he would have captained Cork in the four in a row, but unfortunately it wasn't to be. And that was one of his biggest regrets. But he played cornerback, and he was picked on one of the best teams of all time as cornerback. But he was a great player, his longest puck in history. He was only about 5'9", Wishy, but he was a very strong man. He was followed through with the hips with the puck to get an extra 10 yards. And in those days, the slitter was a heavier ball than today. But he was a very religious man, Wishy, a very humble man. When I grew up with him, like, you know, there was no talk about, he might tell me things, but he was a very humble man. He wouldn't tell other people. And but he was known everywhere. He worked in Dunlop's with a lot of Cork players. You know, he was a working class man. He gave up school at 10 years of age. He went to Benincollig National School. His parents obviously weren't well off. And he got a job in the P&T force going to Kinmare. And he was cycled to Care and cycled to Kinmare, would you believe? And sometimes the examiner van used to collect him on the road and bring him to Care and Tipperary, which is about 80 miles from his own house. But exceptionally tough man, fit man. And wouldn't suffer fools gladly, Wishy. Like, he, you know, when I was playing with Bishopstown, he was saying he killed me because sometimes I wasn't tough enough for him. Like, but he had the longest puck. He won All Ireland's with Cork 41, 2, 3, and 4. Lost, won again in 46 and lost in 47. So he took part in 7 All Ireland finals, 8 Munster finals, and won 3 National Leagues, captain Munster in 48. And then he was involved in the Musgrave Board, and then he was one of the founders of the Bishopstown GAA Club in 1957. So he had an amazing career. He died a young man, Wish. He died at 62 years of age in 1977, died of a heart attack. I think the injuries he incurred in hurling were severe. You know, he broke every bone in his body, including all his ribs. Hurling in those days, there was no helmets, no gum shields, and hurling was teak tough. It was shoulder-to-shoulder hurling. But, you know, I used to have, I suppose, personal conversations with him, and I often asked him who was the best Cork player he thought, and it was John Quirk, who incidentally was born in Milltown in County Kerry. And he obviously thought Ring was the best, but other than Ring, it was John Quirk. And I asked him what player from another county was the best, and he thought Jackie Power of Limerick, Joe Power's father. He always said that to me. But an amazing man, you know, tough man, Wishy, but you know, he always wanted, I suppose, an education for me when I was, you know, did my leaving cert. I was playing Cop Minor hurling football at the time, and I remember he basically didn't want me to play because it was kind of coinciding with my studying, and it affected my study the first year. You know, I ended up repeating the leaving cert. I did about 6 honours, but unfortunately I didn't do as well as I should have had, to be honest about it. And I repeated my leaving, and thank God I did well. But it was an education he wanted for me more than anything, because he left school at 10, and he, you know, he worked in factories, and it was tough going. And I got my, you know, he died in when I was my first year in college, but I had just passed my first year college exam, so that was important to him. He lived in Bishopstown then. He went to live in Bishopstown with my mother. He got married in 1949, lived in Bishopstown, but then he was given a pub in Benincollig, the West End, to run with my mother. And he was still working Dunlop, so they had the pub called the West End in Benincollig across the road from the Army Barracks. And he was great friends with Joe Cahan and people like that from Kerry, John Dowling, and all them were great friends. And he was calling there when Kerry used to play Cork amongst the finals. But a good man, but died long before his time, was he?
Where were you born yourself exactly? And you played Kerry, you played Cork Minor hurling and Cork Minor football. And how did life bring you to Kerry then? And how long are you in Kerry?
Well, I was born initially in England, Wishy, but I came to Cork at an early age. But I played Cork Minor hurling, and I was playing football, and then I break my leg playing with Cork Minors against Sullivan's Quay in the challenge game, and that put me out for the year. And Cork got the Ireland final, you know. And I was in, you know,
what year was that?
That was 1975, 1976, and it was disappointing for me. I didn't get to play a championship at all due to the injury, but, you know, it was my own fault. I went to the injury wrong. I had no excuses. I went to UCC then, and I did a BCom, and thank God I got that. I graduated in 1980, July 1980, and then I did Chartered Accountancy, Wishy, for 3 years. Now, I didn't get to find the exam. I got the first two. I served my apprenticeship, and there was no jobs in Cork in the 80s. As you know, the 80s was a tough time, and I got involved in retailing with J.R. Porter's, and they had a branch in Cork and they had a branch in Tralee. So I started off in Cork, and I came down to Tralee, and I worked in Tralee for 2 years, intending to go back after 2 months, but I stayed for 2 years. Then I wanted to go teaching, But I got a job at Loughran's there in Clash and Tralee, and I went did a county for 2 years there. John Doney was instrumental in getting me in there, to be honest with you. And Pat Healy was a great help to me too. Lord Emerson and both people, great people. But I wanted to go teaching Wishy, and I did a car tasks, and then I got subbing in Tralee Community College, and eventually when Great Closure Cree opened in 1989 in Crossnell Library there in Moidewell, I was asked to become the business teacher there. And the rest, as I say, is history. I've been there since, and I'm very happy there.
Eddie, you have a remarkable career. You have been behind 10 All-Ireland winning teams, and that's including football and hurling.
Yeah, I wish I'd been very lucky. I started coaching in 1989. I was playing with Kerry Senior Hurlers at the time from 86 to 90, but in 1989, Declan Lovett gave up the Kerry in the 14s, and I took over. And, you know, I spent about 7 years with Kerry in the 14s with John Canty and PJ Hoolan, great people. And I won All-Irelands with them in 1992 and 94. I went up to the under-16s then, and we won the All-Irelands, two All-Irelands in a row. Then the minors, same group, we won another two All-Irelands. And then with IT Tralee, we won the Ryan Cup in 97 and the All-Ireland Division 2 League in 1998 and entered the Fitzgibbon Cup in 99. And then with Ballymartle, of course, I won the All-Ireland Intermediate Hurling in 2011. But the other All-Ireland means a lot to me. It was football. So I've been lucky to win All-Irelands in hurling and football. Great Closure won the Senior Vocational B Football Championship in Fishers Stadium in Killarney in March 2006. We beat Boherbuie of Cork. And that was one of the great days, Weezy, because I'm teaching these kids that we're like an extended family. And that was a huge victory for us. And that meant a lot to me because it was football in Kerry. And I was coaching a Kerry team. So I've been lucky to coach Kerry and Cork teams.
What clubs would you have been involved in the sideline with?
I was involved with Art Firth. I was involved with Ballyduff. I was involved with Bishopstone, Ballymartle. I did a bit of work with Ballyhaig. In Kerry, Wishy, you know, a lot of the clubs I took on in Kerry, like Ballyhaig and Art Firth, wouldn't have been expected to win the championship. I took them on basically to improve the club and make them and improve them. Same with Lixnall 2 years ago. They were missing a lot of players. I had Ballyduff there and, you know, won the North Kerry championship with them and got close to a championship. But, you know, I went to Bishopstone in 2006 and my father was on the phones of the club, and that was one of the greatest things I ever did, Weezy, because I had done everything in Kerry. I'd coached Kerry in every grade from under 14 to senior at inter-county level. I'd coached at club level. I wanted to go to Cork to prove myself. I wanted to go to Cork, see could I cut it up there. And with Bishopstone had won two minor titles before that, and they had Shane O'Neill, the present Cork senior captain, Pat Cronin, Ken O'Halloran, the Cork senior football keeper, Ronan Conway, great players. And in 2006, we won the Premier Intermediate with 11 under 21 players. An amazing achievement. And 6 days later, we won the Premier Under 21 Championship. We beat Newtown Shandrum, which was an amazing achievement. Two counties won within 6 days. And then in 2007, we won the Under 21 Championship again. We beat Carrigaline in the final, which was another great victory. So I stayed with them for 3 years. And then I was going to take a break. I was going to go to Limerick, actually, because I'd been involved with Patrick's Well also in 2006 when we contested the Limerick County Final. But Ballymartle came in for me then, and Joe Hallisey, the chairman, and Joe Cummins came down to see me in Killarney, and I decided to go with them in 2009, and Ballymartle won the lower intermediate in Cork in 2006, so they wanted to win the Premier Intermediate, and Joe Hallisey says to me, your job is to win us the Premier Intermediate Championship. So we got to the final, Joe, in 2009, Douglas beat us, a very good Douglas side, but we won the league against Yall, which was very important. But there was fierce pressure in 2010 to win it because the feeling was if you didn't win in 2010, you'd never win it. But thank God, as I said, we did win it. We beat Tracton in the final in front of 15,000 people, one of the greatest days ever, because Tracton would be our enemies, almost, you know, neighbours and enemies, I suppose, for want of a better word, in a sporting sense, you know, and we won it and won the Munsters and won the All-Ireland. So it's been a great time. So since I got to Cork, Weezy, it's been great for me. Since I got to Cork 2006, I've won four counties, two league titles, a Munster title and an All-Ireland title.
The year you chained the Kerry Hurlers against Waterford, you were the coach in 1993 down in Waterford when that sensational victory, that must have great memories for you.
A fantastic victory. John Moyler was the manager and he was a very good manager. And I was involved as coach with him and Morris Lee, he was there, and Mike Hickey, PJ McIntyre, great people involved. We won that by 4-13 to 3-13 in May 1993. It was a historic victory. No one gave us a chance. But what a day, what a win. And we played Tipperary then in the Munster semi-final in Turles when they won well. They beat us by 4-21 to 2-9. We came back to terra firma. You know, the pace of the hurling was way too fast for us. But the other thing that was very significant in that era was that We got promotion to Division 1 of the National League in 1995. We beat Down in Portlaoise, and that was the first time we got into Division 1 of the National League. And it was a very interesting, Wishy. We played in 1995, we played in Division 1 of the National League. Our first game was against Clare, the All-Ireland champions, up in Ossensack Park, and we beat them. That was a historic victory. We beat Clare, the All-Ireland champions. In the next game, you won't believe this, we played Kilkenny. And Nicky Brennan, the ex-president of GAA, was in charge of him. And they beat us by 12 points to 8. And when the final whistle went in, truly, he jumped up in the air with delight. And he's married to a Scarlet Glen woman, a Kerry woman. We played Cork then in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and they beat us by 216 to 113. We beat Antrim, after they beat us by a point. And then we led Tipperary by 4 points at half-time, up in Tipperary Town, and eventually beat us by 7. So they were great times for Kerry hurling.
What years were we talking about there again?
95, 96.
95. What's your philosophy of hurling, Eddie?
Well, hurling, the three main components of hurling are striking, first touch and tackling, and you've got to perfect those. You know, I see a lot of coaches today, Wishy, and to my mind, they'd be chancers, you know. A lot of coaches, you know, that I see wouldn't do anything in tackling. They're all fancy and drills and all that, but hurling, you've got to have a technical knowledge of hurling. You've got to show people how to tackle, how to hook, block, chase, how to strike a ball properly, how to use your hips properly. I feel a lot of coaches today, there's some very good coaches out there, but a lot of coaches are going through the motions, and there's this thing with fancy cones and multicoloured cones and this and that, and it baffles a lot of people. You've got to be able to coach people. You've got to know the game. You've got to know how to strike a ball properly on the run, stationary over your shoulder, drop shots, sideline pucks, how to get the line right, your shoulders right, how to follow through with your hips. You've got to know how to tackle, how to take sideline pucks, how to control a ball at 70 miles an hour. That takes fierce work, Wishy.
How do you describe yourself as a hurling man? How do you describe yourself on the sideline? How do you describe yourself in a dressing room? If you could stand back over there at the other side of the room now and look at Eddie Murphy over there and said, and describe him to me.
Fanatical in a way and passionate, maybe too passionate at times. I suppose the fault I have with you on the sideline, I get involved in the game and probably I miss things, to be honest with you. And I need people up in the stand or experienced who, you know, contact me at half time and tell me, move this guy, move that guy, this is not working. And the dressing room, I'd be very emotional. The way I operate, I'd have the opposition sized up, you know, and there'd be no element to the unknown. Everything, every angle would be covered. And once I go out in the field, there's three areas I cover, I'd be, you know, mentally covered, you know, I'd be spiritually also, I'd be spiritually ready for the game, I'd be mentally ready for it, and I'd have my players ready for it. Like, that's what I do, like, you know, I'd prepare for it. And there's nothing left unknown. I'd have watched the opposition, I'd have studied them, I'd have stats on out, I'd have watched them in DVD, I'd know everything about them. There was a great story, actually, about the All-Ireland final. We played Dixborough, and our cornerback let his man, Killian Starr, loose. And I said, Danny, mark Killian Starr. And there was a water boy there from Dixborough. He says, I suppose you know our phone numbers. I do, actually. And he got a fit of laughing, so the penny dropped with him that we knew about them, like, you know.
When you said there that you were spiritually prepared, what did you mean by that?
I'd always say a prayer before a game, Wishy. I'd always go into a game, I'd be prepared, you know. And, you know, I always did as a player and I do as a coach too. You know, I think you need help. And I think, you know, the way we won the All-Ireland, definitely there was divine intervention, I feel like, you know. We got 2 goals and frees, which normally wouldn't go in, like, and I would. My father was the same before me, like, I'd have good faith, I always had, you know.
Eddie, tell us about your own family, Tom Trelino. Who you married to?
I'm married to Deirdre. She comes from Conley Park. Her father, Tony, is a great Staxman.
Tony what?
Tony Breen.
Yeah.
And a great man. He's 72 or 3 now, but he goes to every Kerry game. We got him a season ticket there as a Christmas present, but a great Kerry supporter. Knows everything. He's gone to every Kerry match, I say, Wishy, from 52 onwards. Great supporter, you know, and very modest man, but knows his football. And I've one daughter, Ava, who's 10, who's not into sport at all, really. She's into dancing and singing. She's very good. She's been in Shimshi and so on. And that's her angle. I don't care when she's happy, Wishy. I mean, and I'm lucky, people say, I'm lucky I had a son, because I'd probably push him too hard, and if he was no good, I'd probably disown him. Like, but I'm lucky, you know, with Ava. Like, she's a great kid, and she's very, very talented too. Very, very good at stage, and very proud of her.
What are the disappointments of your coaching hurling career?
Oh God, there's been many. Losing to Douglas in 2009 was a big disappointment. You know, down the park again, there was a huge crowd there. With Kerry then getting beaten by Antrim in the 2004 Division 2 League final, losing to Limerick in the All-Ireland About 6 weeks later, when we were 4 points up in the second half before 12,000 people in Tralee. But, you know, mainly there's been good times, Weishi. Thank God it's been very good. I don't get down over defeats, Weishi. If I do lose a game, I just go home and I learn from it. I just ask myself why it happened. There's no room for self-pity in top-class sport. I just go home and analyse. I use DVD a lot. I'd study it a lot. And I'd be very hard on myself. What mistakes did I make, you know, as well as the players? I'd be very, very hard on myself. I'd have very high standards and I'd go out expecting to win. I'd always expect to win. And if I don't win, well, there's initial disappointment. Then you wipe away the cover. Why did it happen? Where did we go wrong? Where did I go wrong? Whereas I thought my own performance against Douglas in 2009 wasn't great, Weishi, to be honest with you. Cadigan dominated too much and I was too slow to move. And I learned from it, though. And I'd be, you know, you must have an inherent honesty when you're at this level. You must be honest about your ability and your lack of ability. And you must admit your faults as well as your strong points.
Would you say that there were days, Eddie, that you went out and that you were too emotive, or that you were taken over by the run of the game and taken over by the excitement? Because you did very honestly mention there to you that you need people to help you from the stand and to guide you.
Without doubt, Weishi, especially when I was a younger coach, you know, I mean, I did daft things, to be honest with you. You know, there was times I got involved with the opposition coaches and, you know, I got too involved in players and I was a younger coach. But as the years have gone by, I'm much more seasoned and much more experienced now and I do things a lot differently.
Who would be the great hurlers that pass through your hands?
Oh, God. With ITT in Tralee, I had Niall Gilligan, good friend of mine, John Redden, Alan Markham, John Carroll, Seamus Prendergast, great players. Most of them became all-stars, you know, after that. With Bristown, I had Shane O'Neill, Pat Cronin, Ronan Conway, three great players. You know, with Ballymartle, there's a whole plethora of players, Darren McCarthy, Brian Curry, Seamus Curry, all Cork players. 11 of Ballymartle team have played with Cork, Weishi, between minor and senior. And there's so many. Shane Brick with Kerry was a very good player.
Now, remind us again, what year did you come to Kerry?
I came to Kerry in 1985.
1985. Now, since 1985, since you came to Kerry, and I'm going to try you out here now, who was the best Kerry goalkeeper in hurling, you saw?
Johnny Conway of Lixnow.
Johnny Conway. Who was the best defender in the full back line?
Mike Carroll was a great cornerback from Ballyduff.
Who was the best in the half back line?
Michael Burke of Causeway.
Who was the best midfielder?
Brendan Sullivan.
Who was the best half forward?
Christy Welsh.
And who was the best in the full forward line?
Full forward, Posse Shane Brick.
Who was the best Kerry hurler you ever saw?
Christy Welsh. It's not that I'm friendly with him, but what I like about Christy played Fitzgibbon Cup at UCC. He was very, very strong, great footballer and hurler, but he was able to win possession. He played left-handed, but he was win possession. He was brave. He was very, very strong. And he carried Kerry teams for years. And he was a very modest guy. He's coaching up in Orlingford and Kilkenny now. And a great guy. He's regularly in contact with me. But there was many great players, Weishi. DJ Leahy, Morris Leahy, you know, Todd Nolan, Pat Moriarty. There was great Johnny Bunyan. There was great players there. I mean, all of them were very, very good players. And there's many more players I'll vet out. Boxer Slattery was a great player. Nicholas Roach. Mike Casey. Bart Firth was a very, very good player. Shawnee Shea here in Crokes was a great lad. You know, I heard of it, played for years. They're all very good lads.
Did you ever see Johnny Culty playing?
No, but I'd have great respect for Johnny Culty. I met Johnny Culty at a match years ago. Johnny Culty, there was my first cousin, Billy Murphy, played with Cork Intermediates, and he said that in around 1968 they played Kerry and he picked out Johnny Culty as a great player. And Johnny Culty is a gentleman and someone I had a huge regard for. I saw him in goal with Kerry and I never saw him playing hurling, but I heard from my relations that he was a great player. But he's a gentleman to boot.
Now, the coming year, you're still with Ballymartle. Are there your plans now for the coming year?
My plans now, this year, but it's my third year with Ballymartle. We're in a senior championship playing Newtown Shanjum. We're senior for the first time in our history. Never before were Ballymartle senior. This is our first time senior, so it's a historic year. And I'll stay this year, yeah. And, you know, I'll see after that, Weishi. I never stay longer than 2 or 3 years with any team because they get tired of me and I get tired of them and things move on. But you don't know.
Will you do senior, do you think, Eddie?
It'll be tough, Weishi, like Newtown Shanjum, one of the top teams in the country. It'll be very difficult, you know, and in Cork there's a relegation system, you know, but you have 3 chances. And our aim has got to be to consolidate our senior status, to stay senior. That's the main aim. And everything after has a bonus. It'll be tough. The league now starts in a few weeks' time. Our first game is against Sarsfields, the Cork County champions. So you're talking about top-class hurling. You've got to get to the pace of the game early.
What would be your ultimate dream now as a hurling coach?
I suppose to coach Cork Seniors in Cork Park to beat Kilkenny in the Ireland final, but I suppose that's a dream wish, but if you ask me, that would be my ultimate, yeah. I suppose I'd love to go back into county hurling again. I've been involved. I started coaching in 1989. I've been coaching between 1989 and 2005. I was coaching at the inter-county level. So I only started coaching club really with Bishdown in 2006. I suppose to go back into county, I was interviewed for the Limerick Senior Hurling job, which, as you know, in 2007. I came third, I think, in that. I've coached Kerry. I suppose to coach my own county team would be an ambition. My Cork, I'm a Corkman. My father played with Cork. Kerry's been very good to me. Very, very good to me. But I suppose, be honest, but it's going to be very hard. There's a lot of good coaches in Cork. But at the same time, I think my CV now is good enough. And, you know, you never know. God is good. It is to be, is to be. If not, that's it.
And finally, out of all the games that you were up and down the sideline, out of all the coaching you did, what's the one game that stands out above all others in all those years?
You wouldn't believe it if I told you, winning the football at Arna Great Gloucester, because it was coaching a Kerry team and I felt fierce history that day. And Boherbui of Cork, and I'm a Corkman, Boherbui, I felt were intimidated by playing a Kerry team, and it showed me the power of a Kerry jersey, of being from Kerry. And Great Gloucester were the smallest school pick in Ireland at vocation level, won the senior All-Ireland B title in front of about 1,000 supporters in Fitzgerald Stadium, Killarney. It was my only football there, and it stands out. We won 4 months together in football too. But the school, the kids I teach every day, I taught every day. And then when they got the cup, they asked me to speak on behalf of the captain. So that was a great day. I just felt, and I mean this, Kerry football is special. And I felt that day I was coaching a Kerry schools team. And it stood out from the rest.
What's special about it? You mentioned the power of Kerry football. What do you mean?
Kerry football is unbelievable. We were in the dressing room that day, and the young fellas felt they were playing a Cork team, but they felt that they were from Kerry, that they had divine right to win the game. That's what I'm talking about. And playing it in the spiritual home of football in Fitzgerald Stadium added to it. And we trained. Pat O'Shea gave us the Crokes Field to warm up before the game. And it was a great concerted Kerry effort. And even as a Corkman, to beat a Cork team, I was proud to be a Kerry person, albeit an adopted Kerry person that day. Kerry football is special, Weeshie. I've been going to Munster Finals with my father since the early 60s, watching Kerry, Cork. I saw Mick O'Connell and Kerry. And I said this before to you, Weeshie, Kerry is the only county that can produce geniuses every decade. And I've watched O'Connell, I've watched Jack O'Shea, Michael Sheehy, Morris Fitz, Gooch today. Unbelievable players, you know, and it's an amazing county.
How do they do that, Eddie?
It's coaching. It has to be coaching, Weeshie, you know. It has to be. I think, you know, you watch Kerry footballers today, the balance they have, they can kick with both feet, kick in the run. You look at Gooch today, the balance he has, Donaghy, Declan Sullivan, Darren Sullivan, just incredible talent. That's going down, going back to the 20s, Weeshie, all the great, great players that play with Kerry. You look at Mikey Sheehy, the goalie against Dublin. That would grace Wembley at soccer, you know. I mean, these are gifted people. What would Gooch be worth in the soccer market? Yeah. Gifted. Look at the Kerry forward line, Declan Sullivan, Darren Gooch. Not big, the skill they have. Both feet. Michael Francis Russell, another great player. And Morris Fitzgerald, look at Kiki against Mayo in 97 from his left boot from the sideline. How many more players can do that? Kiki got against Dublin from the sideline in Thurles. How many more people can do that? There's this thing about Kerry, and I mean it, and I know Corkman. There's this fantastic inherent skill in Kerry that no other county has. It's like the All Blacks in rugby. And it's an incredible county. And that's what I mean by, that's why the victory with Great Gloucester meant the most to me. Of all the hurling victories, and it might sound a paradox, but that was meant more to me.
Yeah.
Because it was a Kerry victory. And I was proud that I was living in Kerry that day. And I mean that sincerely, because Kerry, I'd be very proud of Kerry football. I mean, I taught Amphis Morris in school and people like that, you know, people, Michael Cronin, Ronan O'Connor, Keith Moynan, who all played football, Kieran Amphis Morris, who all played minor football with Kerry, you know, Fergal McNamara last year, another student of mine, and I'd be very proud of him.
Eddie, you have a remarkable story, and it's only half finished, it's only half told, and I've no doubt at all about it. If any man is going to go along and lead Cork to an All-Ireland in Croke Park, it's going to be Eddie Murphy. Come here, thanks for talking to me, and keep up the great work. You're a very passionate man, you're a very exuberant type of a person, and I often watch you up and down the sideline, and I often say to myself, I'd love to be up and down the line behind him with a microphone and tape what he says, because your passion really pours out onto the players, and that's what it's all about. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks very much, Wishy. My pleasure.